Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
No, eh?
Hey.
Oh, well done.
Thank you.
I'm your host, Allie Clifton, and we are in Toronto.
Toronto. That's how they say it.
Post games 1 and 2.
Yes.
In between, I guess. 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And Channing.
Yo.
The stud, the star.
You had quite the night last night.
Well, see, what happened was I decided to lure them into sleep the first game.
You did a great
That's
job.
A
great job.
A great
I like
job.
Played possum.
You did a great job.
I played possum, and then the second game, they were just like, oh, Jay's not going to be here. And I just shot the ball.
Your first three of the game.
Oh, it felt so good. It felt so good.
Over Valanciunas? Was there even any
we're,
space?
I'm taller than him.
Well, I know, but still, he was kind of up close.
Yeah, but he, was he that close?
I was impressed.
You say you're taller than him, but you reference that only when you're shooting threes. The minute you get anywhere near the paint, it's like you versus Kay Felder. It just looks really outmatched.
Yeah, they get to the knees. They get to the knees, man. You know, I'm not a back-to-the-basket guy. I try to do it sometimes, but I'm really a face-up guy. I'm more of a, you know, more of a hybrid, as you would say.
A hybrid. There is nothing hybrid about
it. I think the second one you took from the corner on the left, it was you were – You let it go the second you you weren't even.
Oh no no no! So set. Everything in basketball is like reads. In the first game, I didn't really know how they were going to play, and that's how it is most.
It's always a feel out game.
It's a very feel out game, and I did not like how I felt. So,
because only for Channing is it a feel out game. Most guys come into a game saying, "This is what I do."
Right,
I'm going to try and do what I do until they stop me from doing what
actually,
I do.
Actually, LeBron James calls every game one a feel-out game.
Yeah, well, it's different because
– And he averages 28. Me,
yeah, well
– 32.
Yeah, 32, yeah. So I think for me, being like a role player, how different teams play is how I'm going to be like, where am I going to get my shots? How am I going to get them? And I think, you know, usually – well, I don't know what they're going to do next game, you know, but, you know, they went small in that second unit, so they're switching everything. And so now – you start to notice LeBron and Darren and, you know, Kyrie started attacking the hoop, and now I have a guard on me, and I'm standing outside by a three-point line. So I'm doing my job. I'm just not scoring. And then last game, they put a bigger guy on me, whether that was Serge or Valanciunas. So now I'm back to what I call trigger basketball, to where now Valanciunas has to show, you know, Serge has to show, or someone has to, like, you know, put two people on the ball, and now we're in during rotation, so we have to choose between me and the White Eagle, Kyle Korver.
How La different, Flama Blanca. Or why will this time be different when you guys are here as opposed to last year?
I think we're a more mature group. I think we're more chill. I think we are –
Well, people don't – Channing, people try and make it seem like we were – running these streets, throwing parties. Mind you, we had won 10 in a row, and they were in the Eastern Conference Finals. They are a very, very good team.
Biyombo had 20 rebounds.
Well, and on the other side of that, it was these games weren't blowouts. Like, there was a game – the one game, I think it was game 2 up here, or so it was game 4. It was a 2-point game. They hit more shots than we did. I think people made it seem because we were so dominant in the first two games, the fact that they won close games here, it made it seem like there was a 25-point swing, so it made it seem like they blew us out. No, we just didn't play great basketball, and they finally started hitting some shots. I have some theories on it. Mainly the theory was that because they got their rest in game one and two at home, it allowed them to – because
they also played – 2 7-game series right. while you guys swept your first two rounds.
There's so many things.
Exactly.
It's just – nothing is ever – there's no numbers or stats you could put to any of it. It's just they played really well, and they made shots, and they rebounded the ball when we didn't, and they got out and made tough shots.
Yeah. What do you make of DeMar saying he would pay anyone $100 to
I'd
tell
pay
him
somebody
how
a lot
LeBron?
More money than that than stop LeBron. Actually, guys have been paid millions of dollars to stop him, and it still doesn't work.
He's in his own, man. It's in a zone where I don't think people appreciate it, or they're not going to appreciate it until it's done.
Shit.
You know? Yeah. And I think it's like when you look at what he's doing and how efficient what he's doing.
But he's having fun, too. Like, it's an interesting zone.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun doing that.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like a zone for LeBron in Game 5 of the Finals last year versus a zone right now are completely two different things.
Very different things. I think our teams are completely different. Now his zone is make a choice. Do you want me to be – do you want me to get 15 assists or do you want me to get 50?
Well, and the other thing is like
15 assists is 45 points.
Yeah,
because he's throwing it out to these ratchets out there by the 3-point lines.
To the ratchets. No, but you look
are
at,
a ratchet.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, you know, I'm from Mean Streets of Chandler. Shout out East Valley, Arizona.
Jeez,
I wish I was from a name called Chandler.
No, you don't.
I love Van Wert.
No, with Bron, you look at there. I think like he does have different zones. You look at the first year they went to the finals without Kevin and Kyrie. He was forced to take all of that on his shoulders.
And
he almost did it.
Game two in Golden State, when they won in overtime and he threw that ball down, he spiked that ball. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That was like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Is that what he did or is that what you did?
That's exactly what
everyone in Ohio.
It was just one of those things where the game before, you find out that you lose your second of your third big three. It was just a.
My guy Keenan shows up. What's up, boy?
Here?
Yeah, he's right there.
What?
Yeah, I flew up. And my cousin's coming tomorrow.
What a fun surprise.
What up?
What about for you guys, you know, speaking for the fans, on that three, the LeBron hit on Ibaka?
Where he was spinning.
When he spun the ball twice on his left hand.
Okay, so the problem is this. This is the problem with us not dropping this, is that we're not going to. I now know why you're so excited to see Keenan.
Yes.
I just figured it out. I was like, why is she so –
Because I like Keenan.
No.
You're lying.
Hell no.
You're so lying. I was just like, why is she so
– Wait, enlighten everybody.
No,
I don't know.
Richard, just stop exposing me.
No,
stop.
I'm not exposing her. So,
I don't know what you're talking about.
So people might not know Keenan, one of our good friends, is here. He's here, as you guys know, from Channing's brother. And Mark coming out.
A lot of times. Got a deep posse.
Because you're here in towns for 4 days, so you might have a friend or a family member come out and watch a couple of games or support you while you're on the road. It's always good to have people. But apparently, someone is a fan of someone else's snaps.
Who's?
Uh-huh.
Keenan has Snap?
Yeah.
You have Snap, Keenan?
Keenan is very, very big on Snap. So.
Is he?
No, I was just joking.
I was like, wait,
but
is
no one's going to hear this until a couple of
after
weeks.
After this is done.
Until this is done. So we can talk about LeBron's spinning of the ball on Serge, but he's going to do 12 more things that are going to be absurd before this series is over, before anybody hears this. But yes, as a basketball player watching that, it's just.
Okay, there's a level of like, I'm going to say comfort. Because
you don't want to say disrespect.
No, it's not. I mean, okay.
Disrespect is when you pick up a beer bottle out of the.
That's not disrespect.
No,
it was awesome.
Not.
Okay,
that's
I was kidding.
Fun.
I was kidding.
No,
I know.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what he did with the ball, as a player. Lots of guys have grabbed a beer and.
Have they?
Okay. Yes, lots of people. Have.
I want to know. Then is it in the rule book? What happens if they take a sip?
No, people do popcorn.
If you take some popcorn and eat it, that's a little different than taking an alcoholic beverage during a game. Is it a fine?
No one ever does it. It's just like
you just
grab a drink.
You said everyone
does
it.
No, I'm saying no one ever drinks the actual beer, but a lot of guys will grab it and act like they're drinking it. It's that part is not original. The fact that LeBron does it gets a lot of attention, he'll be the first one to say.
Here's the choice, okay, as Serge, as somebody who is – he's way better defender than I am.
Far better.
Somebody who's
like so much better.
Fleet of
foot. No, like a ridiculously amount higher of a defender than you. Serge, I'm kidding.
That's why he was brought to Toronto, though.
I'm kidding.
To slow you guys down.
Anyways, okay, here we go. You have a choice. You have a very disgusting choice. You're on an island guarding somebody who is in a zone like no one else they've played before. And being on an island means you have no help from nowhere. Because if you look who was on the court, JR, Kyrie, Kevin, and I think like Darren might have been on the court. Or not Darren.
There's
but
no
like,
place to help from.
So you're talking 40%, 40%, 40%. So you're either going to let him drive by you, which is going to happen.
And dunk it.
And dunk it and get the crowd hype. Or you're going to give him enough space to make it look, okay, like I'm playing D, but really enough space where if he moves, you got at least a millisecond to try and move your body in front of that freight train. And Bron knows this.
Yes, he does. He knows this. He knows a thing or two about basketball.
Yes. 30,000 points later, he's saying, I know you're not getting any closer than this. I'm going to rub this ball like a genie in a lamp.
But can we
twice can and we, then shoot this.
That was one of my favorite movies as a child, by the way.
But can we talk genie about his – like? So he just passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
And who knows? By the time you guys hear this, he might have passed Michael Jordan.
Hang on. Can we – before you get into that, can we introduce Keenan in case he has something to say?
Oh, yeah.
Keenan has to put the mic down. But Keenan's already been introduced.
Y'all already did that.
Yeah, but no one heard your voice.
Oh.
Hi.
Voice to the name.
Yeah. So, Allie, why were you so excited to see Keenan?
Because Keenan is really super close to someone that I fangirl
Yes.
I love Keenan's girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Keenan as a person.
Yeah, jeez, man. Like, she got
Keenan
is fangirl.
I waste no time.
Let the people know about you. First of all, what did you – Keenan is a football player. So, I met Keenan through my
boy, DB.
Wide receiver.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
And Keenan, where did you grow up?
From L.A., but I grew up in the Bay Area.
Okay.
No and, more, nothing left there, Chad.
Okay, no. Then you had a job at Butler.
I had a job at Michigan.
Right.
I had a job at Butler.
Okay.
See, Allie did not like hearing that Michigan thing, but keep going.
We don't like people
from
there.
And then I left there, and I went to coach for the Rams in St. Louis.
Okay.
And then I moved to L.A. with the Rams, and then that's when I met my girlfriend.
Were you in St. Louis when John Greco was there?
No.
Oh, so he was before you.
Yeah.
And then he came to the Browns. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Who is this mysterious, girlfriend?
So I was like, why is Allie so? She's like, he's here? And I was like, yeah, he's right there. And she's like, really? And I was like, what on earth? Why is Allie so excited? And I was like, because you weren't around in L.A. There. I'm trying to think of when the past might have crossed.
I met him in L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm saying we weren't around to that point. Where there was that much interaction, and then we realized it.
Yeah.
Allie's fangirling.
I did, though, actually, when you guys were in, because you played the Lakers the next night.
Yeah.
We didn't know the Clippers. You guys went in. You guys didn't go out that night.
No.
And I did because we didn't do the game, and that's when I met Keenan. So I was actually around Keenan quite a bit.
So you've been fangirling
since.
First thing she said.
I was like, oh, my God, you're Keenan. Oh, my God, you date.
First thing she said was, well, I know who your girlfriend is. That was her first line when she walked in.
Yeah. How is that? Like, because, again, we have Tristan Thompson.
Yeah.
No one has said who his girlfriend is yet.
No, but we're going to keep
him going.
Tristan, again, deals with a very similar thing where a lot of people know his relationship. Or, you know, Tristan is an NBA champion. He's this, he's that. But there's a different type of notoriety that comes when you have that type of celebrity. I wouldn't say spouse, but partner.
Is it more or less than what you thought it would be?
Oh, it's way more.
Way more.
It's way more.
Way more. Yeah.
Definitely.
It's just different.
Is it hard?
No.
Ugh.
What is more about it? Like, what is way more about it? The fact that you have to take a back seat, just dealing with it all. Like, what is that?
Just the attention.
Yeah.
The attention that she gets, no matter where she goes. You know, especially when we're over in Europe, it's completely different.
I'm huge in Japan.
You're huge in Japan. You're not huge anywhere. Your height is huge.
You're seven feet tall.
Yeah, Jenny, you're huge pretty much everywhere you go.
It was a joke. It's a bad joke.
No, that is funny. Seeing Allie fangirl, and then it dawned on me. I was like, she's not excited to see.
Why
Keenan.
Am I always the one that's always fangirling on these
not
episodes? No, actually, I was excited to see you, Keenan.
She's lying.
We just
Super
talked
lying.
About it the other
she's
day.
Lying.
No, I am not lying.
Yeah.
So now that you're on, let's go back to LeBron and Kareem.
Well, okay, so LeBron just passes Kareem, and we were having this discussion before we got on the pod. Think about this. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar won 4 or 5 championships. He went to probably 8 finals, right? Kareem also played till he was 42. So LeBron just now passed him, and LeBron's only 32. So LeBron's going to pass Michael Jordan, who went to 6 straight, who went to 6 finals. And let's think about this.
Won six.
No, but he went to 6 straight finals. Not straight, but he went to 6 finals. So for whoever the next kid is that's watching LeBron, and LeBron is going to play another 7 years, 8 years, whatever it is, he's going to go to the finals X many more times. He's going to win X many more championships. It could be 2. It could be 4. We don't know. But whoever comes in next, and if they look at total playoff points and, okay, Bron's number one, and I have to beat LeBron to be, like, in that stratosphere of greatest of all time, that person is going to have to go to, like, 10 NBA finals.
Literally, he's going to have to come in
and average 30 points a game. You're going to have to go to 10 NBA finals to average 30 points
a game. How long has this record stood, MJ's?
Well, since MJ retired. Because MJ never made – so when MJ came back with the Wizards, I don't think he ever made the playoffs.
It
would be his last championship would be playoff points. I don't think he made the playoffs. I think it was close. I think they were the 9th seed a couple of times. But when you look at that and just say, so there's that kid playing basketball somewhere in Ohio or somewhere in Seattle, and he's going to try and be the next LeBron, Kobe, Michael. And you're like, okay, well, if you want to pass LeBron James in scoring, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to go to 10 NBA finals just to play enough games. And you're going to have to average 30 points a game across that span in order to pass this. I think when he's done, his playoff scoring record might be one of the most untouchable records in sports. And that's what you want. You want a record that's untouchable, that no one thinks it's just going to be just too difficult, and it will kind of show your
greatness. Well, the league is changing now where it's not like –
it's a scoring league.
It's a scoring league, but you cannot be the only scorer on your team, right? You're not going to win that way. You're just going to get double teamed all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, hey, we
have a guy.
We have that blue guy. Kyrie, that's my guy.
Yeah, so no, it is mind-blowing to think about what Big Fella is going to be able to accomplish in over the next, like, 7 years. And that's pretty nuts. That's pretty tough.
It's been so long.
This is a great question to ask Kyrie.
We weren't able to drop the one that you dropped in on we had some
audio.
The
originals
glitch.
Are back.
Yeah.
The originals.
Kyrie is back.
What's going
us.
On?
How are you?
I'm good. I love the energy in this room. It's so uplifting.
Yeah. No,
do you want some wine?
Yeah. That's what it is. We're mellowed out. Hold on a sec. Oh, Rob.
Is that Silver Oak?
No.
Oh, no. Sorry. I was literally caught the side eye of it.
It's like bronze weed.
What's Silver Oak?
Yeah.
Great wine. Great wine.
Yeah.
What?
It's more or less something you gotta try. Then
Silver Oak is just a very.
I thought that was like a club.
Silver Oak? No, yeah. That's one oak.
Oh, One Oak.
Shout out to One Oak. I've had great.
That's fine. Yeah.
I've had great times at One Oak.
What up, Kai?
What's up, man?
Man, we chilling.
Dude, Kai, how you feeling?
I'm good, man. Glad that we had a week off in between
look
series.
Those.
I appreciate
Kyrie
it.
Is yo.
Look at
Kyrie's
that colorway.
He's got the ones on.
Thank pink you. And gray.
He's got the ones
Listen,
on.
Kyrie, I'm gonna tell you this. Between it's amazing that I'm on a team with two guys where every game I'm more excited about what colorways you guys wear than what if I get new pair of shoes.
and you haven't peeped what Kyrie does. So Kyrie's been doing this lately because whenever and I've noticed it and he knows this. You know where? Do you know where I'm going with this?
We started before the game.
Yeah. So I always mess with Kyrie, but so Kyrie always wears shoes and this and that, and Kyrie's the slowest to get to the court all the time. But what Kyrie has started doing is he started keeping the shoes that he's going to wear hidden. into the last second, and then he comes out on the court, and then all 15 of us looking down at his shoes is like, oh, those are awesome. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, Kyrie, those are weak as shit.
Yeah, always.
Wait, why do you do that?
I always say, dude, he coming to 18.
Because the reaction that we give him in the locker room is like kind of on and off, or like people will see the shoes in front of his locker room, in front of his locker, and we're like, yo, look at these. We'll be grabbing them, touching them, like, yo, these is fire. And then we'll put them down, then he'll walk in like, man, them things is trash.
Yeah. Have you guys noticed, though, have you paid attention, for instance, when you guys warm up practice every day? I counted the other day. You guys, there's like six guys on your team that wear your shoe.
Yeah. I'm appreciative of that. Very appreciative.
How appreciative?
Very appreciative. Very appreciative.
If they made half sizes, Kyrie, I'd be there with you, man.
Yeah, what's up?
I'm a 15 and a half, maybe 16. Oh, I might be. No,
I might have
upgraded to 16.
I've had some shoes. I think the thing is, his shoe is a shooter shoe.
Jesus.
I'm not going to lie. What? It's a shooter shoe. Like the grip on a shoe, I said this from the beginning. The grip on a shoe, I'm a big guy that moves not too fast. So, like, listen, me skirt, you're never going to hear me skirt ever in these shoes.
Yeah.
Do you know they make those tire commercials about the tire stopping? I'd put the tread on these shoes on my truck. That's how good the tread is. And, like, you could wear the crap out of the shoe.
Mm-hmm.
I've worn the shoe, and
it's still going to maintain its
integrity.
Yeah,
integrity.
There you go.
Bronze shoe doesn't come to an 18, so I can't wear that shoe, and then I can't wear
the other. Which is amazing because he is a 6'9", 200
Well, we don't know. We don't disclose this.
Oh,
we don't
disclose
200-ish.
200 and X. Yeah. 200 and X weighted individual. You would figure that his shoes might make it to the larger size.
I think
size
Nike
for the
has done
people.
A amazing job with – the signature shoes this year.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I think the RJ24s are really going to take off.
What do you think about the new shoe that dropped today?
Huh?
What new shoe dropped today?
I forgot about that.
Would you like to talk about that?
I'm up to talk about that.
Okay, well, I this is what's
from cool. every this perspective is, that you want to talk about it.
Okay,
from.
Well, okay, this is the perspective we're going to talk about. So I understand that this is going to be, again, by the time you guys get this information, it'll be probably drawn out.
A week later.
But we're going to give you our perspective. So Lonzo Ball and his dad, they just released their shoe. We don't know who's making it. We don't know any of the details. But, Kai, this is the part that I want to go on. You talked about Tom Crean the other day.
Yeah, I did.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to go into details unless you choose to. But the thing that you said.
Well, let me get it out the way before anybody thinks that it's like this devastating story.
No, it's not.
I was going to commit to Indiana, and I didn't. And it was just a relationship that I had with Tom Crean, and I was going to commit my junior year of high school to Indiana, and it just things didn't work out. And that's all. Go ahead.
Yeah. So,
did you see him at game 4?
Tom Crean?
Yeah.
Game 4 of
Indy.
No.
He was on the floor across from Indiana.
Locked in, girl. Locked in.
I didn't really
see. Is that what it's called? Okay.
I didn't notice Tom Crean either. But that being said, the part that I want to kind of talk to you about is your relationship with your father, right? Mm-hmm. He is very impactful. Like, you guys are – you two are a team. Like you said, every time you get a ring, anytime you get a medal, anything that you get, you give it to him. Like, that was your man. He is taking care of you. You used to call him Joe Jackson. He was just – like, that's your guy.
That's my guy,
That's your guy. How do you view the relationship from your perspective as not many people might have that tight of a basketball relationship? Like, my parents didn't know shit about basketball. They had no clue. They had nothing. Tim Duncan once told me a funny story about how his dad, when he would grab a rebound when he was like in high school, and his dad was like, son, you really need to keep your elbows down. You don't want to hurt anybody, right? Like, this is that. And it just shows, like, sometimes there's parents that know a lot about basketball and sometimes there's parents that don't. What is your kind of view on, like, Lonzo? Because we were talking – we've never heard Lonzo talk.
Yeah. He just stays out of it.
But you can't do that. Like, I'll tell you this. If I knew if I had an idea who this kid was, like you just can't be a plain piece of paper anymore. Like, I want to know about you. Like, I won't hate on the price. I won't hate on the look. If I respect you, get your grind on. Get your own shoe. Get your own brand.
But
I know nothing about you. All I know is your dad.
But do you look at how his father is handling that situation, and not compare it to your own, but like you and your dad have to talk and be like, yo.
Yeah, no. As I grew up, my dad's primary goal was for me to be my own kind of CEO, make yeah. sure that I'm spearheading it. And I would go to him for advice, and he would give it to me. But with everything that's going on with Lonzo and his father, I respect their relationship, but the way that it's being portrayed from the outside looking in, we don't know the dynamic of the relationship except that.
Well, the way it looks.
Yeah, no, the way it looks. Right. And also the way it sounds.
You listen because, with your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, you see it, and it may not be comfortable for everyone because, I mean, you see a father with three sons, and he has a brand that he's trying to
push
into the whole entire world and basically push into everyone's faces, yeah. whether it be forcefully or whether it be the right thing. They're your sons at the end of the day. Yeah. And it's not LeVar's life. But like I said, I don't know what his future plans are for his sons. Yeah. I don't know the dynamic of their relationship. Me and my dad, I always wanted to be just an individual. And you guys always know that. And since I was a kid, my dad never fought that.
Yeah.
He never fought that. And when it was time to let me go and be that individual,
yeah.
after eighth grade, he stopped coaching me, and yeah. he was like, okay,
go
from high school on, you're on your own. Like, I'm going to be here for advice, but from this point on, I'm just going to be a parent. I can't be your coach for the rest of your life. I can't be the Joe Jackson of just staying there on every step and just calculating every move. But, man, I want to see what he has now. I mean, Lonzo, we're just excited for him to get
it doesn't even matter at this point.
Yeah,
I'll be honest.
I just can't label any judgments.
I'm not going to label anything of
his father and his relationship because I love
my
father.
I'm going to give you the people's opinion. No matter what he does, it is going to be so easy to hate on him now.
As players in the league now.
It's so easy to hate on him. Go ahead, Al. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, as players in the league now, what is the mindset knowing that this guy is going to be in the NBA?
We have zero mindset. We could care less about him.
Because he's
starting from the bottom. Like
Here's the people's opinion, though, is because he's had no say, you guys haven't heard his voice. His dad is ruining the fact that when he steps on an NBA court next year, you guys are going to demoralize that guy.
No, but there's certain guys.
Well,
like, there's
well that was already in the back of our minds anyway, just as competitors. Not
there
you
is
know,
a mind.
Just demoralizing,
no,
but we're going to go at him because he's going to be a rookie.
Yeah.
Right.
He's coming into the point guard position. That
is
right
the
there
is the most difficult thing.
I mean, you think about it. You go to the top 10 point guards in the league. I mean, no matter what LeVar says or what he believes, I mean, we're all going to come at him. And that's just competition outright.
I mean, think
and
about
then
it.
You start adding. I mean, we've seen it. We've seen people be implemented into the spotlight, and it just draws an even bigger target on them.
Right.
We've seen it.
And that's not look. What he was going to get baptized in was going to happen.
Regardless.
The minute you're the number one pick, the minute you're the number two pick, the minute you
okay.
get drafted by the
so
Lakers.
So how much has?
Has the I don't think his dad, because I'm going to be God honest, there's two different types. I think from my perspective, everyone that looks at his situation that I've kind of been around or talked basketball with, they look at the kid and with almost, I wouldn't pity is not the right word, but just like, man, that's just, you just don't, that situation just looks off. So you're not attacking this kid. If this kid was talking the way his dad was talking, mm-hmm. oh, then it would be a whole nother world.
Okay.
Yeah. It would be a whole nother world, we're going to baptize this kid. But you see this quiet, somewhat humble kid that makes his teammates better, that plays basketball the right way. So as a basketball fan, you respect that.
Yeah.
A guy that like just plays hard and passes the ball and he's young, but you know, is compared to Jay Kidd and just has this high level of kind of basketball IQ just off his instincts. As a basketball player, you're a fan of that. That's a guy that you would want on your team.
Yeah.
So when you would see his dad come in and talk like he's, you know,
yeah.
like
I,
know.
We all respect the foundation he's laid.
Yeah, as a player, him.
Oh, 100%.
No, I'm talking about I'm going to speak from the parent perspective first,
as
and
a
then
father.
The player. As a father, the foundation he's laid for his children, I couldn't be any less proud of him. I mean, I don't listen to the comments. I'm not looking for
What about that foundation, though? Which aspect are you?
Well, I mean, just as a parent, he's opened up the door for his kid. Like, he was the one that put the ball in their crib.
Okay.
As cliche as that sounds, he was the one that pushed them in that direction to play basketball.
And
now their
successful.
Talent and being able to have their own AAU team, to have their own brand, be able to travel on their own merits, not looking towards,
you know, the big time companies to sponsor their team. I mean, they're just they're controlling it within the family, and I respect that from that aspect. Now, when he starts going off and saying, "I could beat Michael Jordan one on one," and starts going off and then you know, and he compared Lonzo to Uber and taxi. Like, come on, you just relax a little bit, take a step back,
right,
and realize the impact that you can make, not for the moment now, but for the future. Lonzo's going to be in the NBA regardless. But at the end of the day, he still is going into another world that you can't control.
No.
I'm sorry, LeVar, you're not going to be in every hotel room that Lonzo's going to be in. You're not going to be everywhere part of his child or his life as he continues to grow up.
Because you got two younger
ones. You got to let
too.
Go. As a parent, he's 19 years old. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want to let it bypass of him being a father, but he's got to let Lonzo be Lonzo for the long haul.
Did you and your dad have to go through this?
Hell no.
No. That's an honest question.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to answer like that.
I'm laughing at his reaction, not your question. Calm down, 0-60 over there. It's like, wait, that was an honest question. I'm laughing at his answer.
No. Because I had to have a talk with my dad, and I was just like, man, Dad, I love you, but I'm going to make my own decisions. And when I turn – and he told me, he said, when I turn 18, I'm responsible enough for myself to make my own decisions. And he's going to be there to help me along the way, but – when I turned 18, like I got my first tattoo, I got my ear pierced, God. I got my left ear. Like I just started doing my own thing.
Once you get a college scholarship and you start going out, your parents really kind of they're like, well, they gotta start. They're gonna be on their own. I have to start being able to give them that freedom, or else they're gonna get really lost in that world. Yeah. So even me, my parents were like, yeah. My mom was like, yeah. So when you like, do you shoot those like free the throws, those things? Yeah, that's gotten a lot better. Like that, I kid you not. Like somebody sat down with my mom when I was like a junior in high school. Right now, I grew up in Phoenix. No disrespect, but it was like I was playing against 6'2 white kids, mm-hmm. right? Very unathletic. And
what? I was playing against very different people.
No, you weren't, Channing. No, you weren't at 7 feet. But I even at a young age, I was really, really athletic. And they hadn't really seen that type of athleticism in like a high school kid. And someone told my mom, they were like, hey, your son is really good. And my mom's like, oh, yeah, well, he goes to the park all the time. He just really likes to play basketball. We don't know. And then like they grabbed her and they were like, no. Your son is really good. And that like took my mom aback. She was like, okay, so is this
meaning that there were some underlying things that she had to prepare for
as a parent
going forward
that she wasn't aware. It's just saying that like look there's going to be people coming around. Your son's going to get exposed to things, and this is something the world that she had nothing about, like LeVar, and what he knows all about this world.
Yeah,
like he's very aware, so like he's not caught off guard by any amount of success that his son has.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I will say is that he makes it about him and less about his son. And that's the part that's kind of hard to watch, that even as pros, guys that have accomplished what you have, what I have, what Channing has, that's the part where you look at it and you're like, man, that sucks.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a lot. It's a lot to learn. A lot to learn. And it's also just from all of us being outsiders looking in. I mean, we could say what we want, but at the end of the day, Lonzo's got to live his life, and so does LaMelo and LiAngelo.
I like the way the kid plays.
I like the younger brother. He's just a go out.
That's you.
Shoot
that,
everything.
That's you. That's why Kai likes
shoot everything. Kai, flashy.
Kai doesn't shoot at everything. He's got 21 assists in the last two games.
By
the way, Kai.
Also, you should have shot that layup.
Wait, Kai. No,
talking about the one on the fast break?
Yeah.
That you passed back to Brown. That one.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. You wanted to assist? My bad. I was gonna filet fish.
No.
But I was really happy. I was really, dude. Your head has been it's been absolutely amazing. And I tell the guys on the bench, I was like, man, I don't care what he's shooting. This is the best basketball. Because, like, the game seems so slow to you right now. Like,
do you know what our record is when you have double-digit assists?
Yeah.
Why do you sound so disappointed? Like, Kai sounds sad.
No, I'm not disappointed. I'm not disappointed. You have to understand.
What is it, though?
It's not like I go into my workouts. It's not like you guys see me work out. All I do is just work on
one-on-one
moves and just getting shots up and working on my handle. But now I'm just, you know, the game is starting to slow down. And it's fun.
Do you want to know what our record is when Kai has double digit assists?
What is it?
Take a guess.
36-0.
Okay.
There is an O.
There is an O.
There is an O.
There is an O.
More than 30?
No.
Kai didn't have. Okay.
Five. Gosh, don't disrespect the kid. It's like 15 or 16 and 0.
It's 12-0.
12-0.
Oh.
Yeah, 12-0.
36. I was first at the beginning. But through 21 playoff games last season, he never had a double digits this game.
He's got back-to-back. I'll be honest. The shooting that we have on his team now is almost.
But it's almost
disgusting.
But what's crazy?
You look at the floor.
It is disgusting.
Watch the game. See how many people touch the paint and then can get out and contest.
Yeah.
They may do that the first quarter. Trust me, it sucks. It's impossible to stop somebody like LeBron or Kyrie when they are not only past their guy, but they are looking at the defender coming in with them with their eyes up, getting ready to fling that thing to 240+% shooters who are vets. So, like, okay, NBA champion. That's what I'm going to get my credit for, the top credit. NBA champion, all-star, number one in the NBA shooting percentage. So you have a choice, a guy who really doesn't care if he misses a couple, or the best three-point shooter in the league.
Who doesn't care if he misses a couple? You damn liar.
Yeah, that is
a lie.
That's a lie. I do care.
You were talking about yourself?
Yes, he was talking about himself.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about Kyle.
No.
But Kyle's the NBA all-star.
I know.
And the number one in the league in three-point percentage.
But that's the thing with Kyle.
He was number what?
When you see it.
Yeah, four times. Yeah. So it's like when people stunt to me, I said, thank you, Kaya.
And then you also add JR into that mix. It's crazy.
And he hasn't had a breakout game yet where he's run off like five or six threes.
Will you put
in perspective what he's doing on DeMar?
DeMar is the what? Number three in the league in scoring?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, it takes everything out of you.
Run around like a wild man.
Well, it's not just DeMar. Let's go back to the Indiana series. Doing it against C.J. Miles, doing it against Paul George, him and Shump have done an outstanding job of taking on that challenge. It's so, so impressive. So then you go into this series, and it's DeMar. And the young kid, Powell, is very dynamic as far as his aggression. Not necessarily like his efficiency, but just he's going to try and shoot. He's going to try and drive. He catches it on the break. He does a lot. So for those guys, it takes a lot of starch out of you. But the best thing about it is that, okay, I'm going to shut you down, and my other teammates are going to dominate in scoring. Yeah. Right? Like, that's something that you have
a
luxury.
He's been locked in a lot.
This is the best two series that I've seen him play defensively.
And does not get any credit for it, I almost like because it makes him hungrier. You know, whatever happens during the series, I think that JR.
Damn, Channing, how much food you order, man?
I didn't order. Look, you do little it, prosciutto, do. Little dim sum.
When room service comes before you guys go to dinner.
See, this is with some BS, man. Like, we always do it.
You told me order whatever I want.
Wait, did your brother call in for
No.
I don't know reservation.
Yeah, no. Yeah, he did call.
Look at that.
He's going to get us some restaurants out here.
Watch this. I'm coming back.
I was just kidding. See, Channing, one thing people don't know is he can be guilted into anything. So right now he's going to be guilted into anything.
That sounded like Home Alone when the dad got mad because Kevin!
Kevin!
Ran up the room service
But it is impressive to watch your growth. And I remember at the beginning of the year last year when your knee, when you were still trying to get back into your rhythm and you were trying to get your shot, you were trying to get your thing back. So it was like, passing, that's cool. But I need to get my shot right.
No, absolutely.
No, it was. And
absolutely.
I didn't know because, again, like I said, I was in the Western Conference since the beginning of your career. So I would play against you once, maybe twice. We'd come in and out. I didn't get to see a lot of Kyrie Irving, especially not this Kyrie. So to see you now feel more comfortable with your ability, like you said, I can score whenever I want in any way, and no one will disagree with you. But now to see you know that I can now go get 25 and 10 in my sleep, and what it does for our team is
– Everybody feels good.
Oh, man.
It's
Everybody
amazing.
Feels good.
It's amazing. It's impressive, and it's something that I don't think
– It makes you extremely unguardable because if somebody's like, well, damn, he is going to pass this, like – even if he gets double-teamed. Like, you're making that little bounce pass to Tristan, who's done a great job of making the right
and
pass.
And it's so impressive the fact that Tristan has been able to accomplish as much as he has with the disability of having such small hands.
Tristan has small hands?
Right. Yes.
What?
That's yes.
Burger King.
Abnormally small.
Tristan has small hands?
Tristan has, like, if you were to see.
Okay.
If you could transplant in hands of an Oompa Loompa onto Tristan, that's what you would see.
Can Channing and Kyrie.
Yeah.
RJ thinks that Tristan is the best guy on the team on the VersaClimber.
Mm-mm. Wait, what would you say?
Richard thinks that Tristan is the best guy on the VersaClimber.
Yeah, it's true.
No way.
Mm.
That's true.
No. Yes.
He's been the best. He's been the best on the VersaClimber since our rookie year.
Kevin and James are the best.
I'm telling you. First off, no one's getting as many feet in a short amount of time
other than Tristan.
Tristan is getting everything he wants out of that VersaClimber since our rookie year.
Tristan is a 6'9 center that gets lots of dunks and lots of rebounds. There's a reason why no one can keep him off of the glass. Like he doesn't look as impressive. But no BS. Pound for pound, Tristan is a monster.
Do you want some perspective? Tristan had, in game one against Toronto, their starting front court, Damari Carroll, Valanciunas, and who was there for? Serge?
Yeah, maybe.
Serge? They combined for 14 rebounds. No, excuse me, 16 rebounds. All three of them. Tristan had 14 alone.
Listen.
For offensive.
Well,
offensive rebounder?
And that's what I'm trying to say.
Does not get any credit. Because he cannot be single coverage.
Why can't he be single coverage? Part of it is because of his motor, but part of it is once he gets to a spot, he cannot be moved.
He becomes immobile.
So this is the biggest problem.
What does that mean?
Immobile.
I know what immobile means, but what do you mean? He becomes immobile.
He just becomes a stone. He just squats
and puts his roots into wherever it is, and he has a knack for being able to like look at you and look at where the ball is going, move himself there, get your hands off him so his hands are always up. Like, Tristan's a wrestler. Kevin's a wrestler, too.
Yes,
but
very much so.
Tristan is a wrestler, but, like, you can't grab him because he's swim moving you left and right. Trust me.
And then on top of that, he's running down the floor.
Oh, yeah.
He's running, like, defensively, he's running down the floor. He gets to his man. He gets to a blitz. He gets out of the blitz. He goes to box out a 7-footer. He boxes out the 7-footer, doesn't get the rebound. He's going the other way. Then on top of that, he's pulling guys away from the rim, and he's waiting for the lob as well as waiting to get back on defense. He just does unbelievable things.
So this question started because we were Allie was at practice when we did the VersaClimber workout, and it was me, Tristan, and I forgot who our third was, maybe Dante, and we won the 2,000 feet sprint. Oh, do you mean don't? Yeah, okay, that's right. No one competed. Anyway, so we won. You and Kevin were on the same team. It was you, Kevin, and who?
Derek Williams.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So the three guys. You guys didn't try. Anyway, so Tristan did the last like.
They definitely didn't.
Tristan did the last 500 feet.
We won
solo.
All three of them.
No, you did not. Stop lying.
I
have it on film. No, you didn't.
Richard, what did you do?
We
won the first one.
Well, either way, the point.
We won
the
second one. What? And we won a third.
What did you do it in?
No, 500 feet. I don't remember the time, but we all had to do 2,000 feet. And Tristan, because we were alternating like 200, 100, and Tristan at the end, instead of doing 300 and then letting somebody jump on and do 200, he just went 500 and powered through, and we won by like 15 seconds. And so I had the conversation. I was like, Allie, because she's done the Rise Nation in LA. And she was like, no, she's like, LeBron or like.
No.
I was like, no, Tristan is a monster.
LeBron's a monster on there too.
Yes, he is.
Tristan is.
I feel like I would be the Tristan of the first climber.
Oh.
I didn't say beat him. I said I would be the.
I don't know what
Tristan
that means.
Tristan of the version. Like if you had like a group of girls.
Oh yeah, what Seattle Storm season starts in 10 days.
Shout out who we shot.
What
out.
I thought the WNBA. The WNBA already started.
Well, preseason, but the official game starts. First game of the season starts.
Look, a lot.
Kyrie threes exclusives.
I was a little girl. Oh, she's wearing Kyrie threes.
Of course,
is she?
Come on now.
What's up? Is Arizona gonna wear Kyrie threes?
Hell no. I told you guys, Arizona's not wearing my shoes because you guys ended my college career.
Yeah, but we started your NBA career. Hey.
That's a fact.
That is true. Okay.
That's a fact.
Okay. Hey. I'll give you that.
Hey, dude. Duke did the same thing for me. They ended my NBA, or my college career,
your NBA. Okay,
yeah, sorry,
yeah,
my
thank
NBA
you, career. Illinois.
thank Derek. You know, is it funny? Like, wait, no, That is funny. How about this, ladies and gentlemen, for a fun fact, on this team, we all had someone that ended our college career.
Who put you out of your
Oh, career? Let's talk about
it. I had
it.
Dunleavy. Oh, Dunleavy yeah. ended mine. Derek Williams ended yours, and Darren Williams ended yours.
Who ended Tristan's?
I was talking about us Derek. Right here.
Derek.
Didn't they play Zona?
Yeah, they beat Texas.
Yeah.
They beat
Texas. Hold on. Let's keep going. James Jones, they didn't even make
Who
the tournament.
Who ended Braun's college career?
Nike. Nike did. Nike and the agents.
I'm just kidding. Ooh, look who's here.
Uh-oh. Thanks, Top flight security of the world.
What's this?
I'm sorry we're eating people.
Jason Daniels gets a shout-out on the podcast.
But can we talk about this?
Oh, my God.
Is this the best hotel in the NBA?
Yes. Top three.
Montage is really good.
Oh, my God.
Because of where it's located. But I don't think it's as nice of a hotel as this.
Oh, the Four Seasons in New York was cracking to me.
Yeah, that one's nice. That one's nice.
I'm trying to think if there's one more.
Oh, my God.
You guys are going to town on this.
I'm starving. I know you can hear us chewing.
I'm sorry.
This is a
just use your hand.
Just shut up. Okay. How about that? How about you do that?
God, he's hangry. We are eating shrimp dumplings.
Have you guys ever? Are you guys daredevils?
No.
Nope.
No. Life is too good.
Yeah.
Kyrie.
I want to go hang off the edge of the Space Needle.
What?
Who does? That's some white people shit.
Okay. Yeah, you would do it.
Yeah, but
Richard, you said it
after my NBA career.
You guys wouldn't do that?
No. Uh-huh. I would.
Do you know what's crazy?
Why do we have to wait till after?
Contractual stuff.
Yeah. Do you know most of us aren't even allowed to ride a
Bumgarner?
Yeah.
We're not even allowed to ride a bicycle without a helmet.
Excuse me?
Well, sure, it's in some people's contracts.
Jenny, I'm
I got
really
love of the game in mind, though.
Oh, so love of the game, but you got to have it.
Love of the game in mind.
Excuse me, what?
Love of the game means that you can play basketball as much as you want, because there was a time where – if you were to hurt yourself, training,
wow,
they could.
That is fucking ridiculous.
Oh, so selfish.
Wow.
He
found a secret stash underneath the sauce. Didn't even wait. He just took his hands.
Oh, I clamped it.
He's one of those people too that takes the entire
clamped it.
Chunk.
No, he didn't clamp it once. He clamped it twice, just so everyone who saw him getting this was like, okay, no one else wants it.
They were all good.
Do you guys have those kind of friends though like Channing just took the entire thing and got his fingernails in the sauce?
What are you talking about? Channing is that friend of mine. At all of the dinners or all of like weddings, whatever. Channing is that friend.
You guys are going to dinner?
We were gonna go to Soho House next door. Yeah, just with whoever.
I'll come through.
Yeah, come through, man. So one of the good things about this hotel, the Shangri-La. In Toronto, is that right next door is a Soho House that a lot of our guys are members of. And the Soho House is cool.
Not me, though. I need a recommendation.
You need a recommendation. You do.
I do need a recommendation.
I'm going to be honest.
Wait, what does that
mean?
I need
one, too.
What do you mean?
Why do you need a recommendation?
It's a members-only
club. It's a members-only club.
Right, but why can't you just be a member yourself?
You can, but
somebody has to recommend you to become a member.
You have people on your teammate.
Yeah, but we
have some good prosciutto.
It's a really good. It's really thick prosciutto.
Yeah, well. Have you, I gotta have Chef T. Have you ever had Chef T get the leg in?
No.
The what?
He gets the leg in, like, imported from.
No.
I don't know exactly where. I don't want to say. I want to say Spain, but it's been, like, the meat's cultured for, like, 4 years.
What?
That's
what I
want to
do when I get
shebang.
Done with
He gets this big leg.
Oh, it just slices it? Ooh, he hits it.
What do you want to do when you're done with basketball?
Have a smokehouse where, like, I have, like, cured meats, super Portland hipster style. I want to be able to, like, have great relationships with vineyards.
Okay, I just want to tell you this really quickly, I don't want to break this to you. You realize that you've made enough money where you can do this just because it's your passion.
No, I know. But I just, you know me, I have an idea.
Right?
I have an idea, and I forget my idea like 20 minutes later. So no. I just want to make sure this idea stays. So now it's on.
We've got it.
We got it's it. On it's on the, it's on the air. Net. It's on the net.
But, yeah, dude, there's this place in Portland. I think I don't know.
Is it the Multnomah Whiskey Library? Love
no,
that place.
No, I love that place.
I have drunk myself
to
sleep from that place. It is amazing.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
There's a whiskey library.
Call at your boy Channing Fry. I live out there.
Wait. Jay, I never told you this.
What happened?
Well, I think we might have.
Nope.
So most of the people out there, Allie, we talked about on our Facebook Live, Channing is known. That is some amazing mustard. Oh, Channing is known as a bit of an embellisher. Kidding, you will admit this. He says he's not a liar. He's an embellisher.
In a good way.
Not all the time.
Do you need some more wine?
Not all the time.
You need some more wine?
No, here you go.
We got another bottle.
So you hooked me up with – you said that you were going to hook me up with a Zenroby box, and I got a Zenroby box. I was like, oh my God. I want to say you have not thrown many lobs in your career. You've probably thrown as many lobs off the court as you have on the court, but I just want to give you a shout out for that.
I'm pretty sure I've only thrown maybe one in my career.
Well, somebody that might be the only lob you've ever thrown me is that box of clothing
Damn,
that I got.
I don't think I've ever
How
thrown
was it?
It was really good. Most of the clothes that I wore fit. Which is half the battle.
Oh, perfect.
So do you get to pick what's in the box, or it's just a surprise?
They send you stuff.
But they
and
have
then
the size.
You call back.
Yeah.
You say, hey, this fit, this fit.
Bring up a piece of it.
What?
That fit.
Bring up a piece of it.
Take it.
No, I was going to take half of it.
Oh, no, we got a lot. That's not
You're really good at that, Channing. Like, whatever you think. Like, you always say that. Like, if you want to. Oh, my God. Kyrie and Richard.
I told him to half of it.
I keep taking it, but the small piece kept falling off.
They're making little. The mustard here is unbelievable, which makes a huge difference. I don't know if.
This hotel is amazing. That is the best thing about coming to Toronto. One.
The dim sum murder sesh.
The food here. This hotel. Allie, where are you staying?
I'm staying at the Delta. It was just built last year. It's actually really nice.
No, I know. But the Shangri-La is one of the best hotels in the NBA.
Yeah, it is.
I stay here during the regular season. You guys are rude. On to the next thing.
I do. You asked. Allie, what do you want to do after you're done?
After I'm done what?
I mean,
this. Well, I'm not like you guys. I don't make money like you guys, so I'll probably be doing this until I'm dead.
No. Let's just say you did this for, let's say, 3 years, right?
If
then all of a sudden, a company picks you up, and you get $10 million a year for 4 years. So now you have $20 in the bank, right?
You've heard about the ESPN layoffs, haven't you?
ESPN the Ocho. Comes up.
If I could do anything after this, like in my second life – I would love to.
Coach, what was best one?
If you say own a B&B, I'm going to punch you.
What's a B&B?
Oh, my God.
What's a B&B?
He's the East Coast guy. He knows. They're all in Connecticut, Vermont.
Oh, there's a shitload of B&Bs in Portland, dog. In wine country. Shout out your boy at Seafry, Willamette Valley, Dundee.
I want to own, without having to worry about money or anything in life, I would love to own like a little.
A little
like a coffee shop on a beach.
Oh shit, that actually sounded awesome. I thought about it. I was like, that's tight.
Have you guys ever gone to like a coffee shop?
Oh, what's a place in San Diego? Sorry, I'm killing.
Ah, Pipes.
Pipes.
Pipes and Swamis. Pipes and Swamis.
First of all, it smells amazing, right? But when you give someone their coffee, do you all? Yes. You, like, put them in the best mood ever. You give them the biggest smile.
Can't relate.
He's from New Jersey. I can't. The armpit of America.
What the hell?
I'm just saying, there's no.
Anything.
I'm just, yeah,
what are you
seriously.
What talking about?
You just have a shore. I don't know what you got.
Wait, hold on. Are you?
That's real disrespectful.
Are you talking about when I say I can't relate to the coffee or to the beach?
To
the beach. I mean, I've been to the shore
like
twice.
You're an indoor guy. Yeah.
I'm not an indoor. What are you talking about?
You're an indoor guy.
I live in Jersey, bro. We're getting 20 inches of snow at least twice during the wintertime.
Yeah, so
Kai, you can come visit my tiki hut. I want a tiki hut on a beach I serve varieties of coffees. And I see the beach every day, every morning, great weather.
I'm with that.
You curate your meat.
You bought a lake house.
River house.
There's a difference.
Huge
Not
difference.
Much.
Yes. Yes, there is.
Huge.
There's a difference.
What? Like
river is ever flowing. Lakes are just still bodies of water where Jason lives, and I will not walk in that.
Oh, this kid. Yeah. I understand what you're saying. For one, I lived in San Diego most of my life, and now I live in Hermosa Beach. So I understand what you're saying about, one, the thing about a beach, and that you have to understand,
is that it's a lot of sand.
Most people are going to be in good moods anyway. So the fact that you're handing them coffee.
Okay. When we were in LA, I actually went to a coffee shop, and then I walked to a beach, and I could never have been in a better situation in my life.
Oh, I agree.
Had I just sat on the beach by myself, though, no, I need my coffee. I need, like, it just... There's nothing better for me than allowing someone to feel so much joy.
Okay, road tripping crew. Everybody out there, I just want to let you guys know. So people ask us all the time, are we going to keep doing this when the season's over? One of the things that we've talked about
Channing.
Is having Allie and Channing
Listen
come
to
out
this.
To California
I told
for a couple
this.
Of days.
Oh, but
I will be out there.
Hey,
I will be out there.
We're gonna get the originals out there. Ali's face just went from a 1 to 1,000 right now. Excitement. So we're gonna get everybody out there.
So orange.
And what we're gonna do?
We can talk about it because I totally want to promote it.
Yeah. So she got a spray tan. She got a spray tan, and we're gonna talk about it.
You got it for free?
No.
Don't promote
this
it.
This is not an ad. I love it. And the Cleveland would love
can
it.
Can we focus?
And guys.
Can we focus?
Let's focus. Free 99.
So what we're going to do is we're going to come out, and they're going to come out for a couple of days in L.A., and we're going to record like 10 podcasts in like 3 or 4 days, and then we're going to put them out for you guys. So don't worry. We're going to continue this. Kai will be a part of this, one of the originals.
You can bring a friend.
The original.
Ooh!
Malibu.
Are you and then we'll go to Malibu. Nobu.
Are you going to be in Malibu?
Malibu or Bel Air.
Malibu. Let's go to Bel Air.
Oh my God, are you serious? I'll bring the headsets.
Thanks, Al. Thanks for contributing.
Little house overlooking the
Malibu's
ocean.
Malibu's great. The only thing that sucks about Malibu is you're so far from everything.
Yeah, I'm 21 miles away from Malibu.
Yeah, that's why.
That's fine.
But that's why
that's
her.
Fine.
But
with
that's
me.
Why Hermosa Manhattan
that's
Beach is great.
Completely fine with me.
Hermosa Manhattan Beach, you're segregated from most of the world
as far as people as I can be.
So,
Allie, that's a joke.
Yeah, so game to Allie. Not only did you get a spray tan, Allie, but you also started your own website.
I did.
Tell us about your website.
I did. What do you want to know first?
What's the name of
the website?
The website.
The website is actually it's a spot on Poshmark, but it's there's also Poshmark is a clothing website.
Okay.
So or. Like it's an app. There's an app. It's a website that basically you upload clothing items that you want to sell. However, with my situation, I just started this. It's called Allie C's Closet. Allie Clifton's Closet. Allie C's Closet. And for those who don't know, everything I wear on air, I only wear it once. So
bougie. She's so bougie.
I go. It's a bad habit.
Who are you?
It's a very bad habit. But you'll never see me wear the same top on air twice. And we do 100+ games. Okay. So
do
how
we do
I?
Two. Night plus eight
don't do
pre-season?
The math. Channing, just stop. Let her talk.
When you obviously when you think of he's gonna ruin that.
I'm a dick.
Channing's trying to open a bottle of wine right now and you're gonna ruin it.
Not a chance. Not a chance,
okay.
Girl.
So anyways, like Allie C's Closet on Poshmark or Instagram have all my outfits that have only been worn once.
So what is your exact Instagram?
Allie C's Closet.
Okay.
How's it going? Are you moving product?
Yeah, we just started this week and a lot of things have sold. I've actually brought some clothing items to Canada because Poshmark doesn't sell outside of the United States. For those who are looking for clothing items at a great discount, my clothes have only been worn once. They're Banana Republic, some Express, but mostly Banana Republic.
All her black stuff has deodorant stains.
Huh?
Huh?
Well, I just want to know. So, because I think that's a good segue.
That's
a good segue into your tan. Everyone knows it's been really cloudy and rainy. Does this affect your clothing that you put on? Does it rub off on the clothes?
It doesn't because the person that
not
I go
spray,
to.
A good spray tan doesn't do that.
Right. Not only does it not turn you orange, but it doesn't rub off in your clothes.
I have a question for you guys.
Yep.
As we were asking the question, what do you guys want to do after basketball? Obviously, you know my mind. Goes a million miles.
I love this.
Do you think it's possible?
Here we go.
To start like my own community.
Community?
Community as
what? 100%.
Kyrie Irving?
No.
Village
call it Kyrie Irving community. Village of 12,000. But I have very, very lofty goals, and I don't think they're very lofty because
are you saying that a coffee shop on a beach isn't a lofty goal?
No. I think it's very feasible.
Oh, okay. But you're going to pay it at least.
You're going to pay it,
that too. There are just acres of land just sitting places, man.
So you want to start your own community as you want to, like, we joke and say hippie commune, but you want to start a safe place for people to come and build our people to grow and stuff.
Well, I started with the mind, with the thinking of, okay, I wanted to build my own house away from everything. And then I was like, okay, well, my friends and my family, I was like, okay, if I have like 200 acres of just land
easy
to be built on,
yeah,
then why not sell it
Z
to my friends and family? And
but how would you make it your community then?
It would be built on because, well, we would have houses, and then on top of that, hopefully we'd be able to farm on this land.
So you want to add to the map?
No, you're already on the map. I've already thought about this.
I want to be. Because
I want to do the same thing.
I need to understand.
I want
to
be not okay. Add on the map sounds. That sounds like you can kind of
so
just
about,
say that's what it
think
is.
About these countries. Think about these states. Montana, Wyoming, Colorado.
Oregon.
So there is Oregon. Some, yes. So much land out there that you can buy, okay? For instance, I got 8 acres.
There's websites. There's websites
yes,
you can
I
go
got
to.
8 acres. You could fit. I have two houses on it because two people lived.
Is
I
there farm?
I wouldn't really call them two houses.
Is okay, this land just, consisting of farmland? Is it farmland? Yeah, are
it
you going to be
farmed.
Taking away?
Okay, well, even okay. if you live in a sticks, right? Mm-hmm. It, if you own 200 acres, all you have to do
what? Are
is
you listening
put
to
a fence up.
No, no. I'm, oh, I'm, no I was looking at. I was looking at
Keenan. They're roasting me about.
No, but I don't. I don't yet. Even want to put a fence of keeping people out. I just want it to be.
Us.
Welcoming, yes, welcoming us. To
are you
us
familiar
well
with the Jonestown Massacre?
I know.
Rafa, I'm old.
I love that
where,
band, by the
But this
way.
Is where I'm trying the to Jonestown. Understand how you would declare whatever your community.
Like well, I'm not going to just – I'm not going to –
It's not going to be Kyrie
like,
Land.
It's not
going to
be Kyrie Land. My own town. I'm not, that's not,
no,
that's
no,
not
no,
what
no,
I'm trying
no,
to do.
No,
that's not what I'm trying to do.
What he's trying to do is have like –
to the go to whoever in my town now and just pay however much. Okay, I want to rename this. Like it's just that's just money. That's all it is.
Okay.
When it comes to that, just, yeah. I want to name this Kyrie Town. Here's $5 million. Just here, name it whatever I want to name it. That's
right.
What it comes down to. In okay. The society we live in. But for me, I don't want to be part of whatever has been the norm of my life of eating whatever the fuck has been given to me for. My
right.
whole entire life, like the fact that
you
I can't
your own
start
ecosystem.
My own. Yeah, you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I know
you
exactly
want,
what you're
you
getting
want
at.
Your
I've
own,
already thought about
you
this.
Want
like,
own,
I want
your,
my, I want to be 100%. Able to wake up and literally have like a freaking wooden store that I have everything of just fresh food.
You want
fresh,
an orange
everything,
tree
like,
that you can pull your own
right?
oranges and juice your own
I'm
oranges,
telling
your
you right
own
now,
cows, your own
for
chicken,
you to
your
do
own
that,
eggs,
right? Is not as hard as you think it would be.
No, I don't think it's. I don't think it's as hard as that. It's just that when
it's monotonous,
been,
though.
No, okay.
It's monotonous, though. It's the truth because every day you're gonna see Joe, your boy Joe, who's the egg guy, and then every day you're gonna see Mary, who's the milk girl.
Yeah.
Or you're gonna see the farmer.
But that's
it becomes alley. Monotonous. No. But that's why one of my best friends told me that he really thinks that I may become the Lauryn Hill of the NBA. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that,
but like, 100%.
Leave early before
right.
I even
– Allie's
or the Barry
right
Sanders.
Before I even get to
– The Barry Sanders. The Barry Sanders.
Prime.
You've, my prime.
You've mentioned this before.
Yeah, I have. I have.
I mean,
I don't know if it's
before or after
how
you're
old are
champion.
You, 25?
I'm 25. So by the time I get to 10 years in the league, I'll be 29. I'll be 29.
I agree.
What?
Wait, reread this. So he Keenan pulled up something, and I've actually seen this. It says
so
Stephen,
you understand what
Lauryn? Wait, but it says Stephen Hawking says humans need to leave Earth within the next 100 years or face extinction. And I believe it. And I believe it from this standpoint. And I know people
no
might
way.
Think we're crazy. This is why I think
what
this
did way.
You say? The this is a this is no, but this is the problem with it. I remember when we were in elementary school and there was 4 billion people. Then there's 6 billion people. Then there's 8 billion people. Then there's going to be 10 billion people. The number is not going to stop because we become smarter with how to stop diseases. There used to be a plague that would wipe out 20% of the population. Like 20 billion, 30. The number is going to keep going up exponentially, and we don't have enough resources. We don't have enough clean drinking water. We don't have enough that for this planet to sustain 50, 100 billion people.
Wait, who says –
But it just the planet is not built for that. You could look at it. You could look
I
at
mean,
the,
who says that though?
Don't Kyrie.
Wait,
no.
Like who says
wait,
that?
Wait,
Kyrie. No,
really?
I'm talking about not you. I don't mean who says who
wait,
says that for
wait,
you.
Really?
Like,
the,
who says
this
that?
Is, but real quick,
no,
real
no,
quick,
no.
Kyrie.
I don't mean like.
But real quick, Kyrie.
Don't let Channing. No, Channing saying who says like he's coming at you. I'm
really quick.
Who says that? Meaning
the man that believes in the Illuminati wants to have an attitude with me when I talk about human resources and the amount of stuff that comes out. This is what I'm saying.
That's real.
Thank you.
Oh, the human. Oh yeah, that's real. Yeah. But this is what I'm
Richard,
saying.
Richard, are you kidding?
No, I 100%. I don't.
You
I,
pay how much do you pay for bottled water?
This is what I am.
Bottled water.
But this is what I don't go to gas stations and try and get the most expensive bottled water so people think I'm fancy. That's you.
Right, that's me.
That's
but
you.
You don't. When's the last bottle?
That is you.
Do you drink tap water?
I do drink tap
oh
water.
My God.
Yes, my that, now other people might, but this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying.
Slumped in my
thanks,
chair.
Keenan.
Okay.
This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. I don't – I'm not talking about the humans need to leave the planet. What I am saying is that under these conditions of us using resources, of us using oil, of the lack of clean drinking water, I believe that – the Earth cannot be sustained for hundreds and hundreds of years under this rate of resource usage.
He's saying 100.
I'm not okay if it's 100 or 200. It doesn't matter. 200
definitely
means
100. I'm trying to live to be 134.
But I'm just saying 200 means our great great
what,
great.
Be wrinkly as shit. You know cussing motherfuckers. Fuck y'all. Give me my pills.
Yeah. Okay. No. I hear what you're saying.
That's more what I'm saying. If your great great grandkids can't live on a planet because everything is being like resource to a point where there's nothing to like, they say oil will run out. Like okay. Oil is a
there will be something that has oil, replaced though. It.
No, agreed. But
there's
I'm just
saying,
Tesla.
But we've the thing. Okay, the way that ultimately, because I feel like every time we talk about this, it like goes and it becomes
viral.
Just
who
this,
cares?
Say it because there's going to be a t-shirt.
If I say it, nobody's going to listen. If somebody's going to listen.
Why
becomes
no one listen to
it becomes so fundamental in what controls the population and what controls people. Man, there's so much going on, and I personally do not know enough about all of it. But the fact that I am very much proud of us as people of where we're coming to,
yeah,
and what we're becoming more aware of. I think that this generation of where we are now is like way more awake.
Oh, 100%.
Any other generation, because now things are just becoming way more accessible. Where you guys are, all three of you guys looking on your phones.
No, I want to.
I'm just saying. No, 3, 1, 2, 3.
I'm looking at world population numbers.
Oh,
and
I was looking up Illuminati.
No,
my bad.
But as you say that resources still,
population control check
run
that
out, as you say resources run out, the resources that have been given to us have basically been killing us off.
Yes.
You understand that?
Yes.
You understand that? The fact that
so
you know,
7
we just
billion.
Think about just in our country itself, how much of the population is controlled, not even including the separation
ask
of Jenny religion,
about chemtrails.
Of political
is the freedom for God. Which is the freedom for which you wish we lived realistic? In your mind, where you really think that we should be, is it realistic, Kyrie?
Wait, can I answer before Kyrie?
Because no,
he's gonna
she
get deep.
Asked him a question.
I know, but he's going to get real deep.
Let him
I'm just
going to
give it like a surface
no,
answer.
No, she no, asked
I'm,
him
I'm
a
gonna
question.
Give you, I'm going to give you the – Channing can give us the surface, and I will give you the surface as well as some depth in thought.
Okay, for me, I think the freedoms that we have are enough to make us happy, right? And – my opinion on everything is if you have the money to get the best water, to get the best food, to get the best of everything, you're going to live a great life. If you don't.
But money's not freedom.
Is it not? It's not?
Not everybody has it.
Okay.
Well, he's referencing himself because he has money.
I didn't always have money.
No.
But you do now. So
I do
everything,
now.
For everything
so
you're saying
it's
from
me.
That perspective.
I'm talking about me and my family, which is like
so that's
five people. But think about everybody that I'm associated with.
Yeah.
But you were talking about yourself in that one instance.
Okay,
and I'm not saying that you're wrong or right.
Right.
I'm saying in that instance, you were talking about money, if you can afford the best water, if you can afford to live in the best places, that stuff. So, yes, you're not talking about where you came from, and you're not talking about everyone around you. You're talking about you and the five people in your household can afford said things, so you can afford a level of happiness that might not be afforded to people that live in India, that live in Mexico, that live
but
anywhere.
Also,
let's just talk about
to
America.
That point, though, with that
do
said,
you
though,
ever
what
think
makes you
Flint
and your family –
would happen in a suburb?
Do I think what would happen?
Do you think what would happen in Flint would happen in a suburb?
Well, that's part of controlling the population and controlling how the amount
these
of
are just
we
questions.
Have in our population. The impoverished neighborhoods are just the backbone of what keeps society going because, so many things that are wrong are in those neighborhoods just to be able to control the population. And they constantly put it in our face in order to basically guilt us into feeling a type of way about what's going on. The news, everything from our outlets that gives us the news, just a lot of different things, man. And the fact that we've all seen it and we all feel some type of way about it and we all feel like there's but so much we can do because there's so much going on. It's just by design, man.
Well, real quick,
so did you answer my question?
Is it realistic for us to be part of a society that ultimately looks perfect? No.
Oh.
Well, okay. How about this? Just for instance.
Or is it perfect for where it could be money isn't
the root of happiness or evil or whatever you want to say, or every cliche being or cliche saying that plagues our society and us as people. I mean, no, I don't
see. I don't know.
It's crazy because that's why I feel the way I do. In terms of I'm not gonna say I'm going to be the Lauryn Hill of the game, but that's what my best friend told me. He was like, "Man, I feel like you're just gonna be Lauryn Hill of the game. You're just gonna leave this game early, and you're just gonna like,
well, there's life.
Like, you're just gonna go,
and people are not gonna know where Kyrie goes."
Because I love this game with all my heart, but there's just so much knowledge to be acquired and so much change.
There's so much more that
should be happening that isn't.
Well, the last thing I want to say about this is that. Okay, in 2009, it said in 1940, the world population has grown. Since 1940, the world population has grown by 300%.
Yeah. Right? Do you know that my generation was – we have more people in my generation from like – like they said that the baby boomers was like the biggest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know that my generation, we have more people on this earth now than – anything comparable to the baby boomers.
Well, because it's thrown down your face, like thrown in your eyes and what's in your face.
It was
and
thrown
your
in
accessibility.
Eyes.
But what is
right.
that? But what
everything
is,
but, is about
but
sex.
What is, but what is
everything
the,
is about? Like, I, think that, about the ex. I could go on my phone,
but
literally
Channing,
find somebody,
but
Channing, in 10 seconds, and then
it's not. It's
fuck
not.
Them to have a baby.
But no, but it's
what's
not.
Up?
It's not about fucking and having babies, Channing. This is what I'm saying. The human population. Okay. Matrix. Are you a fan of the Matrix?
Yeah.
Are you a fan of the Matrix? 100,
what?
Okay. So in the Matrix, they said the human race to the planet is like a virus. A virus will continue spreading and continue growing and continue growing and continue growing. A virus will continue growing until it takes over the host and it will use up every resource and then nothing is left. Bear, we've seen all the movies about that. Only thing I'm saying is that the human population is going to continue growing. So it's going to be 7 billion. Then it's going to be 10 billion. Then it's going to be 20. Then it's going to be 30. Then it's going to be 40. Are you saying that our planet under its present, you know, way can hold that many people using resources?
Here's a question to your question. Do you think that, okay, and this is going to sound crazy, the powers that be are going to let it get to a point?
Hell no.
Where we can go that way. There is either going to be a war. There's either going to be a famine.
There will be a war or a famine because we don't have the resources. Someone said the next great world war would be over clean drinking water. Because if you have two countries that share a river and one country is like, we need water for our farming, we need this. If you build a dam, all of a sudden you're going to war. If there's two countries, one on top of each other, and the water flows down, and let's say X country and Y share a river, and X country decides to build a dam so that they can give water to their people so that they can farm their lands, and then Y is like, yo, well, we need this water, and like, well, we need it to preserve our people, and the water starts up here, then that's how a war can start.
I agree with everything you're saying, but at the end of the day, life is really not this hard.
Oh, it's not hard. We're just having a conversation.
No,
but
I like
this conversation because I like everyone's opinion. We're like,
it's not. It's not as hard as it's been made over centuries. And
why?
Well, the fact.
I know you. I know
the fact that I am. The fact that I have to label myself as an African American in this country of the United States of America, and
have you been
I
Africa?
Need a passport. Yes, I've been to Africa. Yeah.
Oh.
Check it. I don't know.
Wait, it's the
yeah,
other
I've been
A.
Soweto. I've been
I was like, wait, he was born in Africa. No, Australia.
Australia. I went over.
Have you been to Africa, Channing?
No.
Why do you say it? No. Why do you say it like that?
I want to go to Africa.
Most people don't go to
awesome.
Africa. It's wait, like, hey, man, where you wait, going? Oh, I'm going to Africa.
I went to Johannesburg, and I was in the villages. I went to
listen, if somebody's like, hey, man, I got a week off. I'm going to go to Africa. No, like, that's not normal. It's not
the normal. What do you mean it's not normal? You make $8 million a year. That's not normal.
Richard, that's a long flight from Portland, Oregon
to
Africa.
Have you been in the Mediterranean? Have you been in the Mediterranean?
Yeah.
Have you been in the Mediterranean?
I was, yeah.
How close is the Mediterranean Sea?
I was 16. I was, well, no, I was
16.
I was
we
18.
Went together. You know, Mediterranean is the Mediterranean Sea. Yeah, right? You remember that? We were all together. Right. Like,
Richard,
man, it was awesome.
Do you take blood pressure medicine?
Well, when
no,
I deal
man,
with this
man,
kid,
man,
I do.
Man,
because he said he was 16. And I was
no, I did go. Sorry, I forgot.
The Amalfi Coast. You remember that? Italy. Remember, yeah, it was Italy, a great time.
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah. It was a good time.
So what I'm saying is that
apparently you're it's such a good time. You forgot.
You're referencing the
language. I had a good time, but
I got to see two sides.
What?
I got to see two sides when I went over to Africa. And
did you see all the animals?
That's not what I was looking at.
Did you see the flies?
Don't do that.
Okay.
Don't.
Somebody asked about the flies.
No, you just did.
You asked about the
flies. You just did.
Yes.
First off, okay, look, I'm going to tell you this. I came into the meeting when I was in Joburg, with Johannesburg.
No, it's not fun when you're
Johannesburg. And I'm over there, and I'm with UNICEF, and I'm also with the NBA. So we have a meeting with the NBA. It's about 60 of us, the NBA security. And, you know, they're, like, telling us, okay, there's a possibility that, you know, you could get robbed out here. You know, just make sure you keep all your valuables. And then I go into the UNICEF meeting. UNICEF meeting is about 17 of us. I'm looking around the room. You know, it's me, Dikembe.
Dikembe.
You know, a couple other friends that I've had. My dad's over there with me. I have Marvin Cross with me as well. And we're over there with UNICEF, and they keep it to us straight. They're like, okay, look, we're going to be going into the villages. And what we do with UNICEF and what we're trying to promote over here is very much different than what you're used to. And, you know, coming from where I come from, I'm like, okay, well, I've seen everything that I've seen. I've been in the hood. Anything that you're saying. They're like, no, this is very different over here. You're going to see some very impoverished areas. And you're going to see some just a very different culture, some good and some bad. And when I went over there and I went with UNICEF, and we're literally going in the villages and seeing everything you can fucking think of.
Okay, give me two things. People want to hear two things. Because
the eye-opener for me was, one, the proud culture that they have as people, no matter what's going on in their villages. Like the song singing. I still have videos on my phone. I can
send it to you guys. But they're so happy.
The fact that their government over there basically put all these homeless people in these shacks, and they have these generators and everything over there, and it's just power, and they just have huts, and it's just one level hut with literally just not even a stove, just a bed on the floor with their parents, and literally like a goat outside tied, and cats and dogs running around, and it's just hot as can be out there. And you know, you start talking to them, and you realize
that English?
Yeah, they're speaking. it's not like they
okay,
can speak
first of
in
all,
African
don't
language.
Don't shake your head, Richard. If you're living
in
a
hut, how do
you go to school? That's what I'm saying.
How do you learn?
Not everyone goes to school.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So for me to say, hey, you're speaking another language is
no, but you understand that Americans historically are typically the only country that only knows one language. You realize that, right?
Well, I took Spanish for a bunch of years, but then, you know.
But I'm just saying historically
no,
on the planet,
that, but
there
listen,
are, like, if you're a Ukrainian, you speak like seven languages.
Yeah.
You speak Russian, you speak Croatian, you speak Serbian, you speak English. Like
probably French.
I'm just saying, like, historically, so I wasn't criticizing your question, because I think that is a common question that people, our listeners, might want to know is, like, again, do people speak multiple languages? Do they understand English?
They understand English.
They do.
They understand English.
I wasn't criticizing your questions. I apologize, Shannon, because I get a lot of heat from people out there that think that I'm
experience.
Way too
How
easy.
How is, like,
you're a superman.
You didn't see the
if
video
there's one
of,
thing I could do in
when
life.
I was in the classroom?
I don't think so.
Of me dancing in the
classroom?
Yes,
yes, yeah.
When I was with the kids. It was, you know, these schools are just literally, like, in the middle of nowhere, and UNICEF sponsors all these schools, and we donate money, and we have call-ins, and we have ambassadors just in different places, and we just try to raise money for what's going on over there. It's just our freedoms over here we very much take for granted all the time. And I say over here as I'm in Canada, but we just
North
take
America.
Them very much for granted. And you start realizing that just a lot of what our world is plagued with in America is, it's like 10 times worse over there. It's like 10 times worse.
How long were you there
places.
For?
I was there for about 8 days, 7 days. Yeah, it was awesome though. I wouldn't change it for the world.
So Kai, we're here. We're now. We lost you on the last recording. me and Channing, we get tired of arguing just ourselves. So just know we're probably going to record. When are we going to record again? After game three?
Saturday.
I'm down. I think we should continue on with this.
Yeah. So Saturday, if you want to come on, if you want to come on Saturday,
I'm down.
All right.
I'm down.
We can talk about.
Hopefully, we can. I can, you know, pull out my all black outfit
For funeral game four.
Ooh, yeah. That'd be nice.
Always wear all black on a closeout game.
Really? I was gonna wear a Canadian tuxedo.
That's
what's
actually
a Canadian,
funny.
What's
That's
a Canadian tuxedo?
I actually,
Alan, do you not know what a Canadian tuxedo is?
I actually brought one.
No. What is
it's
it?
It's a denim jacket and a denim jeans, pants. Whenever you wear all
denim. Did you borrow Logan's denim jacket?
No. It's a denim jeans and a denim shirt, but then I brought a.
You guys are constantly throwing shots at one another.
Yes.
I liked – well, we didn't get to drop that episode, so no one knows about Logan's denim jacket.
With that we have to – we got to get Logan. We got to get Logan and then
Lotus,
back on.
He'll be back.
Yeah, that was the lost episode that was so funny when he was so telling funny. About
Wait,
him.
But I have – I don't know. I mean, you guys –
No, wait.
No, I think that we should have – I think that Elver should listen to this, and then we just write the points down, and then we could be more direct – in terms of the topics that we're talking about.
Oh, I agree. Do you I know think what that's I'm a
saying? Good idea. Because there's a lot to be said amongst the topics that we said, and I think that we have a lot more to give.
Well, okay, so you want to revisit these topics on Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and the good thing about this is that we're here for a few days, so we can sit down for most of those sessions.
Kai, what's your availability when we return home?
My availability when I return
home?
So
this is what we're going to do, a live road tripping. So we did a live
I'm actually
road
going through life right now. What's right that? Now with a significant other of mine. So I'm actually going through life. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well,
yeah. Oh, man.
What does that mean?
Oh, man. Yeah.
So we're going to do
life.
We're going to do
life means that when just hits you in the face. That's what life is. It just hits you unexpectedly.
Cheers.
Cheers. You got to keep moving on.
It's called.
You got to keep moving on, man.
It's called two
Allie
kids.
Allie does not cheers to that.
No, that's when just like real life just hits you in the face.
That's when
and
you're
you
like
just
this.
Get
that's
back
when you're
up.
Cruising, and then that wave smashes
cruising.
Over you.
Who knows? You know where that's from?
No.
You know,
California Dreams?
California Dreams.
Anyways, Kai, when we go back home, we're going to do a live edition.
Oh, live edition.
Would you like to be a guest on our
live
edition?
Oh, it's actually, all we do is, like, it's right before we do, like, our team dinner. And we go somewhere and we just, like, sit and
we
drink
this.
A lot of coffee. And
yeah.
No coffee for me, but.
Kyrie. We say it's coffee. It's not coffee, Kai.
Kyrie.
It's not coffee.
A lot of coffee.
He's got the worst wink. He double blinks his eyes as a wink.
Yeah.
Can you wink, Channing? Okay. all right. With that said, real quick before we end this one. Richard.
Yes.
Did you get your Blue Apron order?
I did. And you understand, my house went apeshit. My house went, so I have a 2-year-old that like loves to, I have an English bulldog named Elwood. I used to have two. So it was Stewie and Elwood.
The one with bad nuts.
Yeah. So you guys might know about him.
Nuts.
Yeah. Elwood's got bad nuts. Stewie passed away this summer. He was 13 years old.
Shout out to my dog, Stewie.
I love Stewie. But Lil Rich, like, he just loves to feed the dogs. So, like, anytime dinner time is coming, he grabs his food and looks at you and throws it at the dog. And you're like, Richard, stop that. Then he grabs another piece and smiles and throws it at the dog. Whole time, he does not break eye contact with you just to let you know what he thinks about your rules. So he grabs it and goes like this.
But
everyone hears the laughter.
He was staring deep into
Kyrie's
eyes.
So you know, Kyrie. So the funny thing about that is that, so eating at my house is always a big endeavor. And so when we get all of a sudden at my house, my wife did not know that we had a Blue Apron deal, and she's like, "Did you order Blue Apron?" And I was like, "Oh, they're one of the people that we work with the podcast." And she was like, "No way!" And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Do you want me?" You know, and she's like, "You don't understand. This is so much better." So she was because she has some issues.
Whose phone is that?
I love her to death, but she has some issues. She wants to go to Whole Foods like 3 times a week.
I love
right?
Whole Foods.
As like every time my son eats breakfast, lunch, or dinner, the stove turns on, and that's just unrealistic, and it almost bothers me. It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, woman, you got to give him some cereal. Then you got to give him some more cereal, and then send his butt to bed or something. Right.
Do you know what the best thing about? I'm going to interrupt this.
Please.
My kids are 6 and 5. My kids wake me up, Hendrix and Margo. I say, yo, get yourself some cereal. Get ready for school. And they're like, what kind of cereal can we have? I said, the one you're going to eat. And they're like, do I have to put milk in it? I said, no. As long as you make it and eat it, go. And literally, I'll walk downstairs. They'll dress themselves to a point. You know, sometimes it's cold outside. They don't know. It is the best. I looked at Lauren and looked at my wife, and I said, this is the life. I don't have to do shit. This is the best.
You have great kids. You have great children.
Meanwhile, my son learned how to open the door and was outside playing basketball by himself, and she couldn't find him.
Oh,
yeah, that's what I'm going through right now. At 2 years. 2 years.
Is that the life you're going through, Kai?
No.
No, not yet. Not yet.
No, he has a girl.
One more year, Kai.
She is an angel.
One more year, Kai.
Angel of love.
So,
all right, so anyways, you like your blue apron that you got?
Oh, no, because there's so much work that goes into buying the food, going there, prepping the food, cooking, deciding what to eat. There's so much.
Correct spices.
Yeah, there's so much that goes into that. So,
what's blue apron, by the way?
Blue Apron.
Oh, thank you.
It is the number one fresh food delivery service in America, which is amazing. So basically,
how much does it cost?
Yeah.
So let's say
it depends.
They'll send you all the stuff.
Let's say you want tacos. They will send you every ingredient for the tacos fresh to your house.
For instance, my order is on its way, so this will be my next three meals. There's some salmon. There's the lemongrass burgers that I heard were absolutely amazing. And
where'd
then
you hear that from?
Some chicken. Just some reviews. We could send you, yeah.
And we'll send you a package.
We could totally send you guys a package.
It's actually really good.
And so basically, they put all the ingredients for you.
Oh, you cooking it?
Yeah, and I cook this.
Carrie,
actually,
it's for dummies.
I'm really good
you
at it.
You take the meat, it's already smelled meat. And you cook it, and it's delicious.
The thing that's just nice about it is it's very simplistic. But it's very fresh, so it's very good.
Just trying to figure out why Whole Foods costs so much.
It makes no sense.
We'll send you a package and let your girl make it and see what you think. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Man, just life hits me.
All right.
Well,
no way!
All right.
Game three is tomorrow, so you guys can go focus, watch your film, meditate, whatever you guys need to do.
Yeah,
thanks for stopping
by. I think
we're
going to watch film for another hour, and then
we already
talk
watched
about
film
coverages.
Today.
Oh, damn.
But I will make pointers of what we talked about in this episode.
I'm about to go eat this salad. Salad's
your
awesome.
Salad has been sitting there the entire time.
No, it's fine, though. It's fine.
It's a salad.
Fresh quinoa, avocado, tomatoes, cranberry. Yes.
There's a lot of avocado on that.
As it should be.
Yeah.
That's
it's
a lot of
filling.
Fat.
Yeah. It's filling.
It's a lot of fat.
No, it's not. It's good, healthy fat. It keeps you full.
194,
like,
six and a half body fat.
I learned about avocado in your girlfriend's book. And for all of you who tuned in at the beginning,
you still don't know
who Keenan's girlfriend is.
Yeah. No, we're going to say that. Keenan's going to sit down with us in the next episode.
And Marcus.
So
oh, we already sat down.
You'll have to tune in for the next Road Tripping podcast. But for this edition, Road Tripping with RJ and Channing, the originals, I shall say. I'm your host, Allie.